Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
Prospero año y felicidad.
I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
Prospero año y felicidad.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Good morning. Welcome somebody here this morning.
Just waiting on you, big guy.
No, that's you right there.
Well, I know, but I wanted to wait till you were up here until I said, welcome!
They weren't ready for it.
No? What? Welcome. Hello. Good morning. Buenos dias.
I just want to let you know something. While you were gone, we had two Sundays that I did announcements alone. Man, we got them done so fast. It was like... So it's your fault.
You didn't do a very good job and nothing was really covered.
No,
you guys even know what's
really
going on with me being gone? Probably much better. Hi. I was gone with a bunch of you students and some adults to Guatemala. I have a video that Brad got ready for me up there to play. In the weeks leading up to going to Guatemala, asked for a bunch of supplies, and we had suitcases up here. We ended up taking 7 extra suitcases full of bed sheets, cooking supplies, and one of those items was shoes. It's hard when you give away cooking supplies for someone to go, oh, thank you so much for pie filling. but they do get excited about shoes, and so I have a short video. I tried to play it, put it on Facebook, and that didn't work out, and I tried to put it on YouTube, and that didn't really work out. So some of you may have seen kind of a version of this, but it's a video of us giving away the shoes that you donated. Here it is. Maybe.
Thank you. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my
We don't need a round of applause, but I am, if anything, just for the glory of God, but I want to tell you that we took with us 22 pairs of shoes, and so, almost every single one of them, what we were able to find a kid that needed shoes, but actually what ended up happening was a few of them didn't fit, and we found out that there was a bigger need for shoes than we thought there was, so we ended up spending about another $600 on making sure there wasn't a single kid out of the 130 that were there that needed shoes. They all got them. And that's all because of the support and donations that you all gave. We were able to put shoes on everyone in the orphanage that needed shoes.
Cool.
And so that was really cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for all of your support. The one thing I ask, if you still wanna help in any way, the best way you can help is with all of the students that went and the adults that went. The hardest thing for us is people know that we were gone, and then when we get back, they go, how was your trip? And it's a lot like, how you doing? And then somebody's like, fine. And then you kind of just like pass. That's really hard when you come back from a trip like this to gaining God's perspective and serving and doing stuff like that. And so in passing, say the better phrase for anybody, and this is just a rule to take for your life, is I'm glad you're back. If you don't have time to interact, just say, I'm glad you're back. We really missed you. If you say, how was your trip? They then want, including myself, to take you to coffee and speak to you for about 2 hours and explain how the trip was. And so if you have time for that, then definitely say, how was your trip? But yes, I will take you to coffee. We'll go to coffee, Kim. We'll definitely go to coffee. There will be a video probably next Sunday to kind of wrap up the trip a little
he
bit.
He wants lunch too, buddy.
Okay, that's fine. Coffee, then we'll walk down to lunch. We'll get it done, Kim. But yeah, there'll be a video probably next week. I'm hoping to get it done by then to just share some of the other things that happened. But it was an amazing trip. They keep getting better every year. So
cool. Hey, you've got some things going on this week that you need to cover and go through.
Thank you. So, I totally forgot about that. With the U students, junior high and senior high, this week every year, the ladies have a Christmas program that's going on, so we leave campus. And so Tuesday night at 6:50, we're meeting at the movie theater to watch a movie, and then Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we're meeting at the movie theater to watch a movie. The tickets are on us. And so you just show up and bring snack money if you are in those ages. If you're an older person, bring your own money. But if you're in between the grades of 6 and 8 on Tuesday night or 9 and 12 on Wednesday night, come on down. I got the ticket. It doesn't matter if you're a regular attender of youth group or anything. It's just our opportunity to gather together. One thing I put on the little announcements I handed out was the views expressed by the movies are not endorsed by the youth group or the church. The idea is not to like have a message with it at all, besides that we can get together and have popcorn and enjoy time together. That's it. So whatever the movies are about, that doesn't matter. What it's about is just spending time together. And so that's what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, if you have your bulletin, I really need you to get it out right now and look at it, because here's a couple things that are going on that you definitely need to know about. Next week on Friday and Saturday is the adult Christmas program. Hey, we need a spot filled. We are looking for a shepherd right now. And so if you're able to do that, could you possibly meet here at the church at 1:30? We are going to be running through our dress rehearsal. And so if you can come and do that, that'd be awesome. But if you are not going to be a part of the rehearsal at 1:30, would you come and support this year's program on Friday night at 7 o'clock? And then again on Saturday at 3 o'clock. And so just come and support that, put that on your calendar. That's something you'll definitely want to do. But before that, there is something special going on for the ladies on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. And so Mary Christensen, do you want to stand up and say something, or should I just do a spiel? All right, right here. There's a microphone right there. Oh, okay. Can you just then... No, here, I'll just grab this.
Hey, I'm Mary Christensen, and I just want to invite all the ladies to come. You have to come to the Christmas program Thursday night, every one of you, and please... Seth keeps saying to invite, and some other things I can't remember, but to invite. So invite your neighbor, your friend, a relative, whoever. Invite them and bring them. It's such a blessing. It's at 7 o'clock Tuesday night here, and 20-some years ago, I was the first thing I came to at this church when it was in the old sanctuary. And I was just truly blessed, and it changed my life. So please, ladies, come and bring someone. Thank you.
Yeah, last week we talked about it. Invite somebody, share your faith with them, reason if you have to, and continue to keep welcoming them into your life over and over again. And so that's what you get to do in this program. And so just be aware of that, and you'll be good to go. There's a couple things before my very last announcement. Is today after church, I need a little help with something. Men, I'm going to ask your help for maybe max 15 minutes, depending upon how many people we have. I just need to set up 20 tables and chairs around those tables in the old sanctuary after that. And after the service today, and that would be a great help. And if some of you love to decorate Christmas trees, we just need these trees lit up this week. Today. And so if you would love to do that with a family, I've got all the stuff there. You can just put Christmas lights on them. They don't have to be decorated with ornaments, just Christmas lights, and you can help me out with that. So just come and talk to me after that, and you'll be fine. And then the ladies' Christmas program will be practicing tonight at 6. And so if you're a part of that, please make sure that you come here. And my very last announcement is this, before I turn it over to you guys, is about the kids' Christmas program. But one of the things that is crazy is that we do have some really weird people in the back that have a message for us. And so here we go.
Have you seen baby Jesus?
How many more mangers can there be in this town?
Has anyone seen a manger around here?
Excuse me. Why are there shepherds here, and why are you looking for a manger?
Jesus, our King, is supposed to be born here, in Bethlehem.
Angels spoke to us, they were saying, a baby will be wrapped in cloth and laying in a manger.
A king born here?
Yes, good news of great joy, which will be for all the people.
Do you happen to know when this is going to happen?
We're thinking next week during the kids' Christmas program.
Oh, right. Right, during the kids' Christmas program. That's right, it is next week, right? Mm-hmm. So we have an opportunity to watch the kids' Christmas program at 10 o'clock in the morning and then one at 4 in the afternoon, right? And so is that correct?
Yep.
Yep. All right, cool. And I should probably remind all of you all, because you have a couple more weeks left, is that we are asking you to write letters to our service people in our community who work hard to keep the peace around here. And our letters should be encouraging and thanking them for their service while sharing the good news. And so once your letters have been written, there's a box, a big box back there. If you would just drop those letters in there, and then the rest you guys will take care of, right?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. So I've also heard that there will be a sharing the good news challenge next week. And so people, next week you should be ready to hear a challenge from the kids to accept the challenge of sharing the good news with people. And so also you guys are wanting them to invite people, right?
Yep.
Yeah. You want them to watch you? Okay, awesome. And so invite people, and then there are tons of invites in the back. And so invite as many people as you can.
Exactly. Now let's get out there and share the news. Come on, let's go.
Make sure, let's go before Dos Chavos gets on our tails.
All right. We'll see you guys. Super cute. And yes, Becky, go ahead, and I was going to share it on over to people. So,
just if people in the choir, if some of the guys, if you would help me set up risers and do some things, and ladies, if you want to come a little early and help dress our wise guys and our shepherds, that would be great. Thank you.
Great. Are there any other announcements that I might have forgotten? Yes, right here and over there.
No. My name is Richard Weens with the Pastor Parish Committee, and just wanted to mention to you that every Christmas season we bless our pastors in a financial way, and you may have received a letter this week, and if you haven't, I just wanted to mention it to you that if you'd like to give toward it, you can put it in the offering, and it'll go to all three of our pastors, and it just mark it pastor's gift, or you can give it to me personally or Karen Wall up there. So just keep that in mind. Let's bless them in a special way this Christmas season.
Julie Lawson here. Our Tuesday night Bible study is taking a break until January 2nd, and it's in the bulletin, but we're not actually meeting until next year. We're going to start the study of the book of Romans on January 2nd, and if you would like to order, like me to order you a book, would you please let me know? I want to do that while there is free shipping.
Three- and four-year-olds, Christmas practice this afternoon. We're going to do it right after the service, right up here. So meet me up there. You're probably all right about here. But
Hi, Dixie Shepherd. We need cookies, cookies, and more cookies for all of that's going on this next weekend, Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. Please bring cookies.
All right. So every year it starts 4 weeks before Christmas comes, and that's a time of Advent. And Advent honestly just means expecting, just welcoming, waiting for what's been promised. And so here's a couple things, is that Terry in the Children's Ministry Program wants to be able to help you families celebrate Advent. And so there are 15 pizza boxes, okay, in the back there as you go out. And if you want to celebrate Advent in your home this week with your, or during this month with your family, in here is everything you need for every single week. There's a craft in there going on. And at the very end, you'll end up baking a cake and celebrating. And this is the whole thing of frosting. So you got to take one of these too. And if not, just eat it, right? Because frosting is really good. That's how I'm so large. So, in there, all the stuff you need to celebrate. And so please grab one with your family. It's a great way to do at least one thing during this week to enjoy. And so if there is not enough and you guys would like to, would you just please write your name down for Terry on the sheet and back, and she'll make you one, but I'm sure there's enough. And so please grab one and celebrate Advent. And so with that, I want to start celebrating Advent with you guys, and we'll start with this video right here. Interesting this week that takes a different light at hope, because the very first week of Advent is hope. What does it mean to actually have hope? Because as you guys hear every year from me, there's 500 years of complete silence that nobody hears from God, and people start to wonder that this great nation of Israel really, was it all just a hoax? Was God really real? Or where was their hope in? Is there hope in just having a great nation? Or is there hope in the long-awaited Messiah? And this week, I came across this amazing devotion that talks about hope is not only just having hope, but it's actually a willingness to put ourselves in a place where maybe it's different than our thought process. And so Paul David Tripp says this. Jesus knew that he had come not just to preach the gospel of sacrifice, but also to be that sacrifice. Yet he was perfectly willing. One of the dark character qualities of sin that we don't recognize as much as we should is unwillingness. We're often unwilling to do what God says if it doesn't make sense to us. We're often unwilling to inconvenience ourselves for the need of someone else. We're regularly unwilling to wait. We're often unwilling to be open and honest. We're too often unwilling to consider the loving rebuke of another. We struggle to be willing to say no to our own wrong thoughts and desires. We often struggle to be willing to answer to God's ministry call. Often we are unwilling to admit that we are wrong. Too often we struggle to serve willingly and give generously. Unwillingness is one of the sin's powerful, damaging results. So here's what the Christmas story is all about. A willing Savior is born to rescue unwilling people from themselves. Because there's no other way. Jesus was willing to leave the splendor of eternity to come to this broken and groaning world. He was willing to take on human flesh with all its frailty. He was willing to endure an ignominious birth in a stable. He was willing to go through the dependency of childhood. He was willing to expose himself to all the hardship of life in this fallen world. He was willing to submit to his own law. He was willing to do his Father's will at every point. He was willing to serve when he deserved to be served. He was willing to be misunderstood and mistreated. He was willing to endure rejection and gross injustice. He was willing to preach a message that would cause him personal harm. He was willing to suffer public mockery. He was willing to endure physical torture. He was willing to go through the pain of his Father's rejection. He was willing to die. He was willing to rise and ascend to our constant and to be our constant advocate. Jesus was willing. You see, it's not just the Christmas story. Rather, the entire redemptive story hinges on one thing, the eternal willingness of God. Without his willingness, you and I would be without hope and without God. Without his willingness, we would be left with the power and curse of sin. Without his willingness, we would be eternally damned. During this season of celebration, don't forget to stop and celebrate your Savior's willingness. His willingness is your hope in life, death, and eternity. See, there's hope in the idea that when we have a Savior who's actually willing to love us and to come down and to go, I will be with you. You haven't heard from me for a long time, but guess what? I'm willing to be with you. That's what that's all about. Emmanuel, God with us, is his willingness to be with us. And so as we get to pray as a church every Sunday, I would hope that we come together and go, I want to be willing to hear the voice of God today. I want to be willing to do the things that he's calling me to do. Because during a Christmas time, I think people are probably more ready to hear about the special guest that comes to us, that we celebrate his birth on. That they're more willing to understand that maybe Christmas isn't just about shopping, but it's about the hope that God gives us. And so if you have a card in your front seat and you want a prayer this week, would you just simply fill out that card? And there is going to be the connection box in the back that at the end of the service, you can just drop those cards on your way out for the connection box. And we would love to pray with you. But one thing that I do want you to put on your prayer list right now that is an emergent thing is Allie Greeno slipped and fell this morning, right as she was coming here, and she broke her arm. And so would you just be praying for her? She's right now down in the ER. And so just be praying for that. And what I want to do with you guys is every morning, if you do have a prayer request that you would like to be known that morning, I will be up here 5 minutes before service. And would you just come and tell me, and then I will share that to us before we pray. But would you pray with me this morning? God, you are our hope. God, when it seems like so many things are happening and going on and we've gone into full stride of the Christmas season, but God, that doesn't mean that we need to be stressed out. That doesn't mean that we need to be frantic. That doesn't mean that we need to be relentless about finding the perfect gift. But it means that we need to stop and be willing to see the whole story of you. That God, we could come and that we could acknowledge you for who you are. That during this Christmas season, that Advent season, we honestly have 5 weeks in which we get to just simply relax in knowing that you are good. And that God, that you're not asking us to be completely a part of the world, but God, that you are doing something in our hearts and that you would want us to realize and recognize your Son for what he is, the Savior and God with us. And yet, during this busy season also, we know things don't slow down. Meaning, in terms of our health, in terms of just our worries and our stresses that are on our life. And so, God, we need you to step in. We need you to step into relationships. We need you to step into families. We need you to step into our finances. We need you to step into our workplaces with our attitudes with our coworkers. And we need you to step in as we're driving and as we're talking to our spouse and our friends. Lord, in every area of our lives, we need you to break in and wreck us. We need you to come and we need you to teach us how to love one another and teach us the joy of this season. And God, for those that I know that are having to go through huge surgeries, God, we need you to step in and be there. We know you are, but would you just help us to see it? God, would you help us to recognize you in the hurting and in the pain, but also in the joy and when everything is going well so we don't become complacent? God, would you guide and direct us? Right now, would you give Allie the peace to know that there are people praying for her and that that you are watching over her and that you are loving her and that she knows that. And so God, as we go into worship and just to give you praise, Lord, would we worship you in spirit and truth? Would we know your goodness? And would we sing your goodness out? And would we leave this place people willing to invite, people willing to share, and people willing to continue welcome? We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's worship.
desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear. There is only one foundation. We given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than temptations. We believe, we believe, we believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. Let the lost be found and the dead be raised. In the here and now, let love invade. Let the church live out, our God will say. We believe, and the gates of hell will not prevail. For the power of now we know your love will never fail. We believe, we believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. And he's coming back. He's coming back again. He's coming back again.
Thank you for worshiping with us. Please be seated.
Hey, if you are 3 years old to third grade, you can head on out of here. And for the rest of you that are with me in here, we are going to start into today our series of Christmas. And so if you have your Bibles, all you have to do is turn open to the very first couple of pages, because we're going to start in Genesis chapter 1 today. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 1. In fact, actually, Genesis chapter 1:1, if you want to throw it up there for me, Tony, is this really simply. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, this week as I was just going through my preparations, I was thinking about this, I was looking at the idea of what gifts do we get from God? What gifts do we get from God? And if I were to kind of look at the Bible and kind of go, what do we kind of expect when we think about gifts? Because, of course, you've probably heard lots of pastors stand up and go, hey, well, each one of you have a spiritual gift from God and you need to use it. I'm actually talking about what gift can you actually open up this Christmas season from God and you can just feel and you know that God is absolutely giving you this gift and you can relish in it. Because I think sometimes when we look at gifts, it's really easy to look at some gifts aren't as big, right? Some gifts aren't as shiny as other gifts. In fact, actually, my daughter this week, the way we kind of do gifts in our house is sometimes we just buy gifts for our kids that we know are going to be really useful for them. And sometimes one year we just were like, well, we'll just give a complete gift that we just know is completely a waste, but we're going to do this. And it's not really a waste because no gift should be a waste. But my daughter this year, she said, Dad, you know what I'm the most excited for? And I said, what's that, sweetie? This is Ava. And Ava, if you don't know, is just super gregarious. She's got the greatest laugh. I mean, if you want to hear a great laugh, just tickle her and she'll just, I mean, it's from the depths of her. And anyway, she says, I'm really excited for socks. That's what she said. And she was genuine about that because every year in the stockings, my daughter gets socks and she loves it. And as we were driving home, my son Silas, my daughter Sarah actually was really kind of mad that I bought Ava a pack of gum, and Silas said, "Sarah, knock it off. It's okay. It's not like you're going to get 54 packs of gum for Christmas this year anyway." Which last year we gave her 13 packs of gum. That's all we filled her stocking with, and she loved it. Some gifts are phenomenal. Some gifts are like, "Oh my goodness, you bought me a car. Wow." Some gifts are the Sunday socks, and they might not be the brightest, and they might not be the best, and I find it funny that, guess what? What if it's not about what we think about the gift? What if it's about the giver and what they think about the gift? Because if you look at this scripture right here, I find it incredible that it just starts off with, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. So I was looking at that this week and I thought to myself, wait a second, what's it actually not saying? It's not telling you what God is like at all in the very first sentence. It doesn't say where God came from. It doesn't say where God has been. It doesn't say any of that stuff. It just says, in the beginning, God. And I love that statement, and I find such great encouragement in that statement because I think to myself, that's all that needs to be said. In that very statement encapsulates everything that God is, that he doesn't need to be explained because he's God. He's far vaster than anything you could ever say about him. You don't really need to know anything but that he's always been and he always will be. He's just always been here. And then the very next part, I love it. It says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He started giving gifts. He started a process of inviting us to be a part of something. And then is when we start looking at things. But the problem is, and we'll go down it, but we start picking and choosing what gifts we really want from God. And the thing that I think about God is that if he's eternal, if he's always been, and he knows absolutely everything, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, all of these things that we know about God, because we have read the rest of the book, I wonder if we can go back to the very start of it and go, okay, well, what gifts have always been with God? That it's not new, that it's not something he's created, it's just always been, and he's now giving it to us. And so all the gifts that I want to talk about this Christmas season have always been. It's nothing new. It's nothing that he's created. These gifts have always been around as long as he has been, because guess what? They are him. And so the very first gift we're going to look at this week is, of course, you already have your sermon notes, is this. It's the gift of truth. And so if we were open it up, if we were to open it up and kind of go, okay, God, what sort of gift is the gift of truth? I think the very first place we look at and is this right here. Is his word. Is that the very first baseline that we can open up this Christmas season is going, I want to know who God is, and what better place than to start here. Because in this is the truth. And we're going to go into how we know that and how we experience that. But I think to myself that as we open up the truth and as we open up who he is, there's so many other things that share who he is. The truth about what's going on. Because I think to myself when I look at it and I go, I'm not so sure. And I'm not talking about... I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me back up. All right. I think to myself when I look at the truth of who God is, I think I know it's revealed in the scriptures. It's revealed all the way around me. Okay? I look right now and I can see the truth. There is no way that just this happens by chance. Every single one of you is different. Every single one of you does have gifts and talents because you're created. But out of those gifts and talents, the foundation of those gifts and talents are truth. We're not talking about truth of scientific discoveries. Okay, I'm not talking about, hey, we know an apple fell and so it always falls, so all the truth is there's gravity. No, I'm not talking about that sort of truth, though that is a part of who God is, but we're all that discovery, scientific discoveries of truth pales in comparison to knowing the truth of God. And so I want to start out with a definition of truth this morning as we jump into, getting a baseline of truth for us. Truth is that which is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. Let's make it even more poignant to you. Truth is the self-expression of God. Truth is the self-expression of God. It means this. That therefore, God is the author, the source, the determiner, the governor, the arbiter, the ultimate standard and final judge of all truth, because truth is the expression of God. So right away in the very first line there, I want you to write this down, is without God, there is no truth. You know, this is kind of the very interesting moment. Jesus is standing in front of Pilate and the whole entire crowd, and Jesus says, I've come to teach the way of the truth, and Pilate looks at him and he says, what is truth? Which is the question that we've always had from the beginning of time, I really feel like, is we constantly say this, is, in fact, actually, even in a better, easier form, it is this. We could ask, what is the meaning of life? Can be answered with the question, what is truth? Because, see, if we don't realize that without God there is no truth, guess what? We can then do whatever we really want to. This has been the most probably vexing thing of all creation. Plato, Socrates, Marxism, all of these guys are sitting there going, we can't explain the innate desire for us as human beings to always desire truth. Because without truth, we honestly can do whatever we want. And nobody can be mad at that. And I'm coming from a complete sociologist background, right? That's my degree. We want that. We want to know, why does everybody always have a sense of justice, a sense of right and wrong. Why do people do what they do? It has to point to something. Our desire for truth has to point somewhere. It can't be follow your own heart, right? Brian was telling me about this comic about this guy that he follows. And the mom was talking to the son, and the mom says, "Hey, honey, just follow your heart. Do whatever your heart desires." And the very next picture of this comic is the heart with like devil horns and like this big, huge grin. He's like, "Let's do this," right? Because if we were to let our hearts just go however we want, we would not have a baseline of truth to do what's actually right. Without God, there is no truth. And so Genesis 1 is the start of all of this. This is where our foundation of belief is this, is that at the very beginning was God. The very beginning was God. And he created everything. And so in that, he is our standard of truth. Isaiah 65:16, and let's go back to the Bible. You got this, Tony? Here we go. 65:16 says this: "All who invoke a blessing or take an oath will do so by the God of truth. For I will put aside my anger and forget the evil of earlier days." They're talking about in Isaiah about us going our own ways. We actually have to come back to the point of realizing that there is truth and it's God's truth. Psalms 31:5 says this: "I entrust my spirit into your hands. Rescue me, Lord, for you are a faithful God." The same word is actually faithful, is truth. The word in the Hebrew, I'm going to butcher it, but is emeth. The truth of God. Deuteronomy 32:4 says this: "He is the rock." This is God. God is the rock. His deeds are perfect. Everything he does is just and fair. He is the God of truth who does no wrong. How just and upright he is. And the last one, Psalms 19:1. "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship." If you didn't believe, if you don't believe the scriptures and what it says about the truth, the God of truth, look around you. The heavens already declare that God is the God of truth. We can come up with as many ways as we possibly want to say, actually, no, it's more like this. Hey, that's great. That's awesome. But I think at some point, at every very level of it all, we have to come back to the very basis, the very beginning of Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created. The truth lies in that very statement, that everything comes from God. Not only scientifically, but also societally. So if that's the truth, and if God shares those things with us, and the Bible is constantly telling us the truth of who God is, how do we also just see it? How do we also have a tangible view that God is truth? And we see that in this, is that truth is revealed in Christ. I've said this over and over to you guys that I don't think, actually, I've never had a conversation with somebody who doesn't at least agree that Jesus was a real person. There's nobody disputing that Jesus ever existed or any of those things. But when I look at this statement, that truth is revealed in Christ, if Christ was real and he is real, then we have to realize the things he said about himself. John 1:14 through 18 says this: "So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me, who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness comes through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." If we've already talked about God as the ultimate truth, then truth is revealed in God, in Christ. In fact, even if you look in John 1:1, which I absolutely love, and I don't have it up there, Tony, and I did that specifically, but if you have your Bibles, John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." And we're going to talk about that as he is the gift of grace. The gift of grace and Jesus is what we're going to talk about later on. "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and he was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all receive him who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Jesus is constantly revealing the truth, and so that means that the teachings of Jesus point to truth over and over again in our lives and what is true in our lives. John 14:6 says this. This is a bold statement. Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. I'll spend really quickly on it, is this. That if Jesus reveals the truth, and he is the truth, then he is God, and he's asking us to come to the Father, and it means that through him we do that. And so this Christmas season, the gift of truth actually is the gift of Jesus. We just don't look at it like that, because most of the time we look at truth as something that actually beats us over the head over and over again. Who says, no, you can't do this, or you can do this, or all of these things, and we begin to make rules about it. And Jesus is saying, no, you don't understand. The truth actually is the way to get to know me. It is about a relationship. It is not about me telling you yes and no and all of these things. It is simply about a relationship. God's truth was never to make us climb a moral ladder and thereby earn his favor. It was literally about maintaining a relationship with God. It teaches us to relate to him and others appropriately. I think we put too much strain on the law when we try to make it about systems, about salvations. No, it's literally about Christ. I find it funny that David says this. He constantly talks about in the Old Testament that he is always loving the law, always loving the truth of who God is, because this is what we've been given to understand, and understand who Jesus is and revealed who Jesus is. And the next thing is this, is that truth is funneled through the scriptures. If you want to know the absolute truth about God and who He is, then read the Scriptures. Put in the work. Put in the time to say, God, I want to know you more. Because in that, the Scriptures reveal Christ to us, and the Scriptures then show us that God is our ultimate truth. And when you believe that is truth in your life, guess what starts to happen? You start to actually want to do the things of God. It then becomes about a relationship, and not about sitting in a pew on a Sunday morning or baking the cookies that you need to bake or going to this program or going to... No, it's not about that. It then becomes about, no, I want the things of God over and over again. I find it interesting that this week, as a staff, we sat together and we just kept on saying to ourselves, we want to know more about Scripture and we want to spend more time with God and we want to yearn to do this. And as soon as we did that, guess what happens? We get distracted like crazy. A new Netflix series comes up. Somebody steps into our office and we think, yeah, we need to talk to them. We need to chat with them. Somebody asks us a question, how was your missions trip? Which is, all of those things are great, but the one thing that I wonder is, am I doing the work on the other side? This is what I find funny. I say, God, you're really super important, and I want to do the best I possibly can for you. And I give him 30 minutes of my day to speak to me and talk to me, and then I go about doing what's on my agenda. What if I invited him every single hour of the day? What if I set an alarm for every hour to maybe sit there and go, hey, God, I want to know the truth about who you are, and so here's the deal, God. I'm going to set an alarm every hour, and I'm going to ask this question. Where is God right now in my life? Who can I be praying for right now? And God, would you take care of this situation in my heart? And I wonder if the truth would start being revealed in us a bit more. Or to us, not in us, but to us. John 17:17 says this. Make them, Jesus is praying to God. This is what Jesus wants. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. He's praying for us on our behalf, saying, God, I want them to know the truth. I don't want them to be in darkness anymore. We choose darkness all of the time, don't we? We choose untruth all of the time. And then Paul in 1 Timothy 3:16 encouraged us by this. Without question, this is the great mystery of our faith. God was revealed in a human body and vindicated by the Spirit. That is the wrong verse. The verse is this, is that, I bet you it's in 2 Timothy, not 1 Timothy. That was my fault, not Tony's. I'm going to be wrong, aren't I, Brian? Yeah, 2 Timothy. Here we go, 3:16. All Scripture is breathed out by God and it profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. That's what the Scripture is for, is to continually train us to be ready to teach, to reprove, correct us, train us to do the right things. And it's not for us, but it's for God. So if all of this is true, is that God, without God, there is no truth, and that truth is revealed in Christ, and that all truth is funneled through the Scripture, and that's where we get truth, then here's the next point. We need truth. It is not something that we just pick up one day and say, hey, okay, great, this is true for me, and then drop it off and then go about my merry way. But no, that means that we need truth to be in us always. We have to be concerned about the truth of God and what he's revealing constantly. The problem is that so often we love to fight about this, don't we? We have a whole culture that sits there and goes, well, what's true for me is not always true for you, and so guess what? You just follow your own truth. Guys, we've already discussed this morning, that truth is God's, and that it's revealed in Christ, and it's revealed in the scripture, and so every single time we come across something, we need to continue to come back to this, that I need truth. I need it. Because when we abandon the definition of truth, that truth is self-expressed by God, sin is always the inescapable result of abandoning truth. To reject and rebel against the truth of God results in darkness, folly, sin, judgment, and a never-ending wrath of God. If we reject all of this, we are in darkness. Guys, I'm telling you, if you haven't read the news lately, it looks pretty bleak, doesn't it? And I sometimes wonder, this is easily solved by one thing is what if we did get back to the truth? And even as I say that, I know that tons of churches are fighting over which they think is the right interpretation or not. No, what I'm talking about is that if we really searched a relationship with God, what would happen? What would happen if you asked him to reveal as you're reading the scriptures and you asked him to allow Christ to enter into your life and that you realized that there was no truth without him, how your heart would change? And it honestly would not matter what other people are doing. It would matter that constantly, every single moment, I'm telling God I need the truth right now. Romans 1:18 through 23 says this: but God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. We live in a world that knows the truth, especially in the United States. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they know God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. And they bought presents and they put things on credit cards and they went crazy trying to make other people happy. Emphasis, Seth Runners. And I look at this and I go, how do we get back to this truth? Because we need the truth. Because if we actually just listen to that, it's pretty bleak. John 17:16 through 19. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. This is going back to this. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as as you sent me into this world, I am sending them into the world, and I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. This is phenomenal. We need the truth because we need to be like Jesus, that God is sending us into the world. And we need the truth because of one last thing, John 18:32. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And 36, so if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Meaning that if we look to the truth of the scriptures and of Christ and of God, guess what? We are set free. The things, we are no longer bound by actually having to run around doing the wrong things. No, we just do the things of God. And you have to do the work. I can't do it for you. As much as I would love to sit here and tell you guys all of these things you need to do, guess what? It's going to fall on deaf ears until you do it. How many of you guys invited yourselves somebody over to your house this week because of last week? Man, maybe some of you did, but look at that. I didn't. And the last thing is this. And I'm going to close with this. I'll invite the worship team to come up. The most loving thing is truth. You could even put that in there like this. The most loving thing to do is live truth. Because to accept and submit to the truth of God is to see clearly, to know with certainty, and to find life everlasting. The motivation to know God's truth is not to get favor with God or have him be on our side. But literally, the motivation to know truth is so that we are able to know the character of God and the intentions he has for us, so we can become more like Christ, more like the revealer of truth. If we're going to take this gift this season, the gift of truth, we need to realize that truth is not to bind us up or anything like that, but it is to set us free, and it is to actually give us a baseline of who is the author of truth. Which I find funny is it brings us right back to the beginning, that's where truth came from, that God was in the beginning. His truth is the only way. Colossians 3:16 says this. The most loving thing to do is let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And so this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to end our service in worship. But realizing that we desire to encourage one another. We desire to grow in one another. We desire for the message and all of its richness to fill our lives. And to go about sharing the truth over and over again. About allowing the truth to be in our lives, because we tell ourselves a lot of lies. So let's worship.
Amen. You
Have a seat for just a second. Really like this gift. How many of you have ever worked really hard at buying a gift for someone? Right? For me, I worked really hard the last couple days, like the 23rd, while stores are still open, the 24th, looking on Amazon and seeing how quick their shipping really is. But sometimes I remember, right? Sometimes it's in October, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna get a good gift. I'm gonna spend some time, I'm really gonna spend some thought on this person, and I'm gonna get a good gift. And like, you get whatever this gift is, and you get it engraved with their name on it, and like the year, and you wrap it in like really expensive like cloth wrapping paper, because you know that this gift is gonna be absolutely amazing. You know it. And then they open it. Thank you. And you're like, oh, see, this is why I wait till 2 days before, because those gifts you absolutely love. But this one that's all engraved, you didn't even take it out of the box. I think that's what God feels all the time. The most horrible thing about a gift is someone has to accept it. And we open the gift that God's given us and we say, didn't really want your spirit living in me. I really didn't want you to die on a cross. Who asked you to do that anyway? I really didn't want an instruction manual on how to live my life. I wanted chocolate. It would be so hard. It would be so hard to continue to give gifts throughout humanity, creation, to the gift of just creating us, the gift of for some reason saving some people in the flood, for some reason sending his son himself to die for our sins, for some reason still through all of that allowing us to open the gift and just say, yeah, I accept it. And so my prayer for all of us today is that we look at the truth of who God is. I read an article this week, two different articles. National Geographic was kind of going crazy because there's some stuff going on with the tomb that they think where Jesus was buried. And they're doing some crazy stuff this week there with research. But National Geographic said, I can't remember the quote exactly, but the person that they were talking to said, I don't know any scholars, historians that deny Jesus, any real ones, that he was a real historic figure. There's nobody with brains that denies that Jesus was real. The truth is, you have to do something with Jesus. Open this gift this year, share this gift this year of truth, of his word, of his spirit living inside of you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for perspective. Thank you for you. Thank you for continually giving gifts to us every single second, every single day, every single week, every single month, every single year, every single heartache, hard time, good time, bad time. Lord, may we accept the gift of your truth. Lord, let it sink into not just our brains, but into our soul, into the decision-making parts of our being, that your spirit can just overpower and be what shines through us. Our hearts are deceitful above all things, Lord. Own our hearts. Rescue us from death, and may we actually accept this gift. We love you, Lord. We love you, we love you, we love you. We ask all of these things in your son's name. We leave him at the most level playing field there is at the foot of this cross. And all God's people said, amen. And one last thing I have to tell you is that we didn't forget to pass around the little green bags today for offering. If you would like to make an offering today, as you're leaving, there's a wooden box back there on the welcome glass tables back there. Just drop it in there. There's an app that you can ask the Welcome Center about if you want to get an app for giving. And there's also online, there's a link that you can give on as well. So we appreciate you. Our gift is that we're not going to force any tithing on you. You just give as God is asking you to give. And don't feel any pressure. We really hope that what you're sharing is not monetary, but is the truth of who God is. Have a blessed day.